The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Experience lightning fast speeds and Sky's best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Wednesday morning, it's the 16th of June 2021 and we're with you till 10 o'clock. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan at rte.ie. What's next to come out of his mouth? I haven't a clue. I mean, well, of course I do. I have a clue. I was going to tell you what the weather's like. It's really hot. It's really cold. It's quite wet and it's dry. So that's the truth of it. I don't know what. It's one of those, isn't it? Bloomsday will bring mixed emotions to people. Some people are only thrilled. And then some people like Dr. Conor McNamara, Galway County Council historian in residence, his credentials are impeccable, tweets to say, Bloomsday in Dublin, is there anything as truly awful as this annual spectacle? See, it's not for everybody. A more balanced response comes from Donal Fallon, one of our favourite historians in town, who says, Joyce, regarding, of course, James, the eternal modernist would probably hate us all going around in straw boaters, which he'd find baffling too, engaging in an orgy of nostalgia. Still, I'll be outside Sweeney's by midday. And that is probably a more fair response. However, to those who will be gallivanting today, have fun getting there. I'm all in favour of a gallivant. And if you use the thin fig leaf of James Joyce's Ulysses, good enough for you. And of course, it's not a thin fig leaf. Save yourself a text. It's just a matter of passing. So you have to be careful what you say. You won't be cancelled, but they'll be sniffing around for cancellation. It's like poor Lin-Manuel Miranda. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who gave the world Hamilton, possibly one of the most politically correct stagings of a musical and of history. And bit by bit, they're trying to take it down. Well, he owned slaves. You can't. And he's not this colour and you're not that colour. So it's very, very tender territory to be in when you do something like that. And even his new film called In the Heights, which looks magnificent, spectacular, colourful, a welcome. One of those post-World War II, post-pandemic, colourful spectacles like Singing in the Rain, where you just go, that's what the world needs now, to sing and dance and embrace fun. And Bloomsday, gallivanting, and all the things we promised ourselves we'd do after the pandemic. But yet they're still, unfortunately, they still come out and go, do you know what, Lynn? To be honest with you, it's just not this enough. I'm not even going to get into it. Or that enough. And do you know what? I don't think, for some people, nothing is ever going to be enough. And to them I say, enough. Lighten up. You know. But that's it. If that's your day, that's your day. Jared Kushner, son-in-law of Donald Trump, is writing a book and he got the deal for that. But I suppose more interestingly in some ways, Donald Trump probably heard about this and has promised that he's going to write the book of all books. Book of all books, believe me. He's going to write this book to end all books. Probably going to be bigger than the Bible. Probably. And he has promised to do this. But they're saying that there's no big publishing house likely to touch a memoir by the 45th president because, well, legals, truth, these small matters that may or may not. But I wonder, I'm very surprised to hear that a book publisher would turn down the memoirs of a president, regardless of who that president might be, even if he is a spectacularly anomalous creature like Donald Trump. So we'll see. Somebody somewhere will publish it. Excuse me. And if not, he will self-publish himself, which he has been doing for the last 74 years. So on he goes. Stellar magazine, it's a great magazine, stellar.ie. And they have a nice piece today, which is entitled Move Over FOMO, as in fear of missing out. See, when you're young like me, you know what all these things mean. You know, FOMO, this kind of thing. So stick around, you know. You never know what you might learn. FOMO. Oh, what did she say to me last night? My eldest, she goes, oh God. I can't even remember how bad the joke was. She goes, oh Dad, you're just Dad. You know, I thought, yeah, that's the truth. That's it. That's all I got for you, kid. That's all I got for you. Move over, FOMO. Why? Because the truth is that people have a thing called FOMU.
Really?
Yeah. FOMO is now FOMU, which is the fear, not of missing out, but the fear of meeting up. It's a good one, isn't it? People are a little bit, I meet people around, they're still saying it, just a little bit wary about going it. For example, the one that you hear a bit around now, particularly around this part of the country, I'm just not mad about the idea of going into town, into Dublin City. And to you, I say, I was there. I have ventured into the cauldron a couple of times. And it's great. It's really good fun. So don't be afraid. Get stuck in and softly, softly, as it keeps saying, you know, go and visit a gallery or a museum or something that won't cost you anything. Go for a walk in a park around town, whatever. And then maybe think about a bit of dinner or maybe a few pints, whatever you want to do, or coffee. It's all there. But you'll find it's not as possibly as crazy as you thought it might be. But this piece goes on to say that what steps can we take to keep the fear of meeting up at bay? Top tips. Explain any hesitancy is one. It's completely normal is another. Embrace the awkwardness is another. Bail if you feel like it, which is fair enough. A little bit of nose would be nice, but yes, bail. Zoom your dates. If that's going to be an option for some people, so be it. Talk to a professional, always a good idea. Stay safe, always a good idea. Anything else? No, that's it. So just a few top tips there from Stellar.ie and in terms of getting back into the mix of things. Coca-Cola. I'm a fan, not of too much of it, just every so often, like a nice glass of Coke. It's good. I had it in the cinema, went to see Quiet Place 2 recently. With popcorn, it's like cheese and crackers. Popcorn and Coke, like these things go together. Fred and ginger, you know, these are all natural fits. And Cristiano Ronaldo, you might have seen this because I actually, even I saw this. Cristiano Ronaldo was at a press conference. He's renowned as a health fanatic, as you expect when you're one of the top sports people on the planet Earth. And he was sitting, he's 36 years old, at the press conference, and he kind of shoved the bottles of Coke, because they're presumed they're sponsored, they shoved them away during the press conference and said, agua, I don't want, you know, drink water. Which is, I do understand that. If you're a top sports man or woman, you're sitting at a press conference and probably trying to encourage young people to do all the right things and eat all the right things and drink all the right things, and there's three bottles of Coke in front of you, probably it's not quite sending out the right message. I don't know if it's Coke Zero, which case it might be better message, but nevertheless, he said water. The point of this story is not to rehash a story you might have seen 2 days ago. It is to tell you that as a direct result of what he did with those bottles of Coke, the share price for Coca-Cola dropped almost immediately by 1.6%, which is a big deal in that world. It went from 56.10 to 55.220. So that's essentially the market value of Coke went from 242 billion to 238 billion. Dropped $4 billion because this one man turned around and said, not that, water. That's powerful, isn't it? I mean, in terms of what influence he has on that world. Brilliant. Very, very impressive. Oh, this poor devil. Shelby Houlihan. Sounds like she might live up the road. Sounds like she might be a character in Peaky Blinders. But Shelby Houlihan has got herself into a bit of bother because she's a middle distance runner and she has been banned for 4 years in the States. She's from the United States of America. And there was a positive drug test. And then she said, it wasn't me. I said, well, who was it then? Like, we tested you and I'm afraid it's positive. She said, it was a burrito. I said, what? Yeah, it was a burrito. I had a burrito in the last 12 hours. I'm afraid to say, I think it was the burrito. What part of the burrito? The pork. The pork in the burrito is guilty of the positive drugs test and not I, said the fly. And that's her excuse at the moment, that eating pork could lead to a false positive for the anabolic steroid. And she's standing by her burrito and her story. And I don't know whether she will appeal this. It's devastating news for an athlete, no doubt about it. But so far, the only defense she has is a burrito. So if you are a sports person today listening and you're walking through the city and you're thinking, do you know what I'd love now? Don't do it. don't go for the burrito. I have to say personally, just briefly as an aside on the burritos, I find burritos stressful. There's too much of everything in it. Too much of everything. Too much. It's exhausting. It's big. It's like eating a rugby ball full of stuff. I know people like it and everything, but it's just too much. What else would I give you? I'll give you some text already. James Joyce fled from Dublin and stayed away for the rest of his life, says Pete. Does this sort of, isn't there this kind of not quite anti-Joycean, but certainly a Joyce skeptic flavour to the text as well? And there's nothing wrong with that either, right? I mean, it's all part of the robust push and pull of conversation. Bob says, recreating Bloomsday is a very good way to rejoice. Okay. It's good for the acting and tourist industry. That's a very good point. There's nothing wrong with that. We're all for that. Another says, I like a good gallivant, and if you want to use some classic literature for the excuse, then I tip my non-existent hat to you. However, the more Bloomsday is promoted, and the more excerpts I hear from it, the more convinced I am that it isn't for me. Well, there is the point that you could try it, you know, and maybe head out to where it's all happening, isn't it? Glastool and Sandy Cove and to the Joyce. Well, I've never partaken in it myself, but it's there for you. And maybe you go out and have a look around and go, yeah, actually, do you know what? This is good fun. Or go out and go, no, I was right. So it depends on your experience. That's the truth of the matter. How I envy Stephen Colbert today. Stephen Colbert presents a talk show in the United States at the Ed Sullivan Theatre. And he had his first show last night back in his chat show with an audience. You remember them? The beautiful people? Oh, well, they were all there. How have you been? He said. Oh, Lordy. And the crowd just roared. 420 of them, all vaccinated. Most of them without a mask in Midtown Manhattan. Oh, I think I was in that theatre, actually, at one point. And he was back in his element after, you know, the virus, and it's just stopped everything. But it's all good. And the return to the stage, they say in the New York Times this morning, of late night's highest rated host was one of the clearest signs yet in television and in New York cultural life that things were starting to get back to normal. I have no doubt in my mind we're going to have a full audience in September. I am very, very confident about it. And it just, even when we were finishing the last show of the last season just gone by, I was already giddy with the thought of the first show of the next season coming, because it's going to be so big and so beautiful and so full, like a burrito, but with people. Anyway, during an interview in his office last week, Stephen Colbert sounded eager to get back to the spotlight. He said, and I see where he's coming from here, he says, I'm like a dog who's got his head out the window and can smell that we're near the farm. He said, I'm ready to be out of the cage. Gotcha. So that's coming down the tracks for us too. So I'm very excited. That sounds very, very, very lovely indeed. Aoife is in Galway. I went to Dublin, she said, for a night last weekend from Galway. I had such a lovely time in our capital. Coffee and Bewley's, a browse in Hodges Figgis, and a stroll on Stephen's Green. It's heartwarming to have a bit of normality. Yeah, these are the good things. Gavin says, ah, Ryan, a burrito is an express dinner. It's quick and it's easy and keeps you full for the day if you're out and about. Yeah, it's very popular in my house. Both of them. Love a burrito, especially the ones, there's great burrito places in town, I understand. It's just, I tried one day and I was intimidated by it all. It was a lot. Here's a lovely email that says, myself and my partner, we were driving down from Dublin for a trip to beautiful West Cork last Friday evening, near Coppin. The sun caught my eye on a dangerous blind bend and we flew off the road about 30 feet. Good Lord. Landing in a down drop. You don't want that in your life. Okay. Miraculously, we were both fine. We were able to climb out of the vehicle, but we're trapped in a 6 feet ditch surrounded by thick nettles and trees. And that bore the brunt of the crash. We were inundated with help from people passing by. Three young people. Young people, good news story alert. Three young people cleared a path and helped pull us out of the ditch. Another man drove a mile down the road to get a gentleman called Martin, who drove up immediately to help us. He put us in touch with another gentleman called Philip Cross McCroom, who took two attempts to pull the car out of the ditch. A third good Samaritan taxied us to our holiday Airbnb with good spirits and calmed our shaken nerves. Another young woman pulled over to help us get our luggage. so that we could leave the crash site. But we are so grateful to have escaped safely, and also for the kindness of the people of West Cork for looking after us so well. Irish people are truly one of a kind. Kind regards from the anonymous and grateful blow-ins from Dublin. That's Niall Horan. Nice to meet you. Good Irish music on this Wednesday morning at 21 minutes past nine. On the Ronaldo, it's more sponsorship issue, says the text. He happily advertised fried chicken. Did he? Oh my God. Okay, so it's not a... Okay, it's not a big health issue at all. I didn't know that. But he does have a huge influence. You're right, but thank you for that text. That's very interesting. Mark Felton and Greystones, your burrito story, blaming the pork is cracking me up. Crackling me up even better. Sorry. Okay, brilliant. You're good. You're all over it today. I've got to stay on my toes for you. Okay. Do you realize, says Aidan, that the share value of burritos in Ireland has plummeted by €120.34 today because of your statement. By that much, that's the class of influence I have on the world of burritos. Stay tuned for further share plummets as I diss others as we go along. Think of all those burritos making staff. I would argue, Aidan, that I would have enhanced and increased the sale of burritos today because most people who like burritos will be thinking, God, I haven't had one for ages. I am salivating at the very thought. In fact, I'm going to go into town and combine everything that's been spoken about this morning. I'm going to go for coffee there, go and look at some art there, walk in that park, have a big burrito and then pints. Yes! And then maybe five bottles of Coke and some chicken on my way home while watching the football. Combines everything. And phoning Niall Horan and ask him how he is and that you're pleased to meet him. That takes it all in. And we're only at 25 minutes past nine. Not even. It's good. Emily Marr is from Dublin 8 and she says, I'm heading into town to celebrate Bloomsday and our fifth wedding anniversary. Congratulations. We had a lovely Dublin wedding in 2016. Looking forward to reliving the memories. Thanks for the positivity. We all need a bit of it. So happy anniversary, Emily, and to you and your husband. And enjoy your day in Dublin town. I had the most lovely school visit yesterday to St. Oliver Plunkett's school. And it deals mostly with children who have problems with dyslexia. Gorgeous school. And they had all the kids, as they have done in the last visit I did more recently, they had all the children out in the yard. And they're all in essentially fifth and sixth class for the purpose of this conversation, in their bubbles. So I asked them some questions, and what do you want to be when you grow up? And they told me the most eclectic, interesting answers. And then I said, okay, any questions back? And then it turns into a trippy press conference. Have you ever been abducted? I said... Sometimes I have. Mostly by people trying to get me onto their WhatsApp group and for the weekend. You know, are we going? I said, no, don't make a group. But then I have to exit and then it's awkward. Were you ever arrested? No. I love your questions. Another one from a real history fan. Do you think Hitler was 10 years ahead of Europe in the race for nuclear armament? That's a great question. I mean, but let's go back to the ones about your favourite book when you were a kid. George's Marvelous Medicine. That sounds good enough to me. But gosh, they were bright. And the principal, Angela, thank you for that. And Gordon Goodwin, we've sorted that out. And his lovely son, Ben. And there was one young girl who just jumped out at me because her creativity and curiosity and, it was just brilliant. Her name was Sive and she was a superstar. I met all these young people and their teachers and everything. I know that to me they're representative of not just that area of town, but of all the teachers and children today in school they're still at it, particularly primary school, still going till the end of June. You know, secondaries are done apart from the big exams and so on, but they're still going despite everything. I'm in awe, to be honest with you, of all you're doing, and the kids to remain so resilient and positive and curious. Despite it all, very impressive. Love that. 9:25.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
That's a nice text. I was in the car, happy crying, says the text, after dropping my daughter off to St. Oliver Plunkett School, the one I was talking about earlier, when Ryan was talking about the visit. The school secretary from the school had come out to tell me how many questions my daughter had peppered you and me with yesterday. And this brought me to tears because my girl, Juliet, has a severe speech delay and didn't talk until the age of 4 and has worked so hard to gain both confidence and the ability to speak clearly. We're heading to America tomorrow to look after her grandmother, and she can't wait to tell everyone that she met you. Well, you know, that's your proud mum this morning, and you really should be, because Juliet was gorgeous yesterday. And just like all those situations, you let the confident ones out of the cage first, and they get the questions, and then you ask and prod and gently bring it out of the younger ones and the shyer ones, and tell them there's no pressure to talk. And once you tell them that, then they realise actually it's safe. We can talk to this guy. And she was great, and she took her time, and she was clear and lucid and smart. And yeah, you've got a gorgeous future ahead of you there with that beautiful child. So well done. On a sadder note, Pat Walsh emails to say, greetings from Luxembourg. Unfortunately for some people, the 16th of June has a very different and sad connotation, and it was on this very day in 2015 that the tragic accident happened in Berkeley, California. Imagine, involving those poor Irish university students, when the balcony collapsed. The disaster claimed the lives of Ashley Donoghue, Olivia Burke, Owen Culligan, and Nikolai Schuster, Lochran Miller and Emer Walsh. And I'm Emer's uncle, said Pat. We always wonder where Emer would be at in life. She had such a bright future ahead of her. They all did. And it's a day that will forever be etched in our hearts and our minds. And the families will mark that day in their own special ways. And when someone you love becomes a memory, the memory becomes a treasure, says Pat, who says, I just wanted to mark the day. And I think that's thoughtful and soulful and appropriate. And we're thinking of all their families who may be listening in this morning. And that is a tough day for people, no question about it. And we're sending you as much love as humanly possible, and mind yourselves as much as you can this Wednesday morning. Okay, we're going to pause for a little music, I think. Given the widespread use, says John and Kilcullen, of growth hormones in American farming, here we go. The possibility of there being nandrolone steroid in a burrito is not at all far-fetched. I think I have time to recommend a film for you. I came across it by complete accident. It stars an actor I'm not a big fan of necessarily, but I completely fell for him in this one. I called Bill Nye, and you'll know Bill Nye from Love Actually, which is a film that drives me around the twist. But this is a beautiful trilogy of films. Watch the first one, called Page 8. Page 8, easy to remember. And he's MI5 type of a certain age who has romances with women of a certain age, that is to say close to his own, who are all beautiful, like Rachel Weisz and Helena Bonham Carter and Winona Ryder, all feature it among the three different films. He has a type. And it is Michael Gambon's in the first one. Ralph Fiennes is the Prime Minister. It is classy. It's jazzy. The opening sig tune into it, the theme music is gorgeous. His performance is excellent. It's unchallenging, but totally engrossing. And it is, there are three of them. And the pièce de résistance, they're about 1.5. They're 90 minutes. They're short. They're just perfect. And I love them. Now, I think some people, you might come back to me and say, you are a disgrace. You have no taste. You appall me. I don't, everything you do, I'm changing channel. Or you might come back and say, do you know what? That was right. Just what I needed. So try Page 8, and then there's two more after that. All on Netflix as it happens, but it's really, really good. Right then, shall we say goodbye? We shall. Thanks for all the appreciation for Clive, particularly what he was doing in the area of talking about defibrillators, CPR training. All this came up in the last few days around that, but I thought he gave a very, really intriguing account of himself on that story. So we appreciate him taking the time to do that. We've got to say goodbye. It's 10 o'clock. Have a wonderful day. Stay tuned to Philip Boucher-Hayes, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.